The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to sum up the first reading from the book of Job with a little song. It goes like this. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and nobody cares. If you are depressed, if you know anyone who is depressed, do not suggest they read the book of Job. Because what we're told, the life is drudgery. We are like hirelings. Our days come and go. I mean, if you're not depressed, you will be depressed. So we have to put this, of course, this reading in the context of the whole Bible. And Job really was a good man. He hadn't sinned. He didn't pretend to say God was wrong in allowing what happened to him happen. He had faith. And eventually God returned him to his former way of life. But that's Job. But it gives us an idea, especially I would say in this time of COVID, what many people are suffering. Now, maybe some of you see it, maybe in your homes, among your families, friends, whatever, people suffering from depression or fear or anxiety, and we read all the statistics, how suicides are up. Well, there's that sense of life is a drudgery. I mean, where's the end of it? Will we ever get through it? Now, we as Christians, of course, have Jesus as the model to get through anything. And as we see in today's reading from Mark's Gospel, God desires to heal people. He wants people to be healed. Now, the reason there is illness and possessions, etc., goes back to sin. Original sin, our sins. That's why things seem so bad and why we have this evil in the world, because we're free, and unfortunately we freely choose to do what is evil. There wouldn't be this need for healing if Adam and Eve had not fell, but they did. So we're dealing with that. What does Jesus do? He shows the love of God. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals people from the village who are possessed. He heals people who have diseases. Then the following day, he says, "I'm going to go now to the synagogues and preach the good news and get the demons out of people." So that's God's desire for all of us, that we be healed. And what did Jesus also do in the gospel, which is really the crucial idea of all our readings today? He went off very early to a deserted place to pray. He couldn't have done this stuff without that relationship with his Father. So early, before people were up, he went to a deserted place so he could speak with his Father. So he was rooted in the love of God. And so all the things that flowed from him, his preaching and his healing and his exorcisms, come from the Father through him. Because they are one, they are united. And so Jesus is able to do those things because of this relationship with the Father. And again, it tells us God wants us to be healed. Now, many people want to be healed in many ways, and it doesn't happen, at least the way we may want it to happen. But we know that always God answers our prayers and does get some kind of healing in there. You know, the psalm talks about God heals the brokenhearted. Well, I would say for myself, I know about you, but I would rather be healed of a broken heart than of cancer, because I believe that if my heart was healthy and focused on God, it wouldn't matter what's going on, because I would have that understanding. It's about God, and He has healed me in the most important way. Spiritual healing is the most important healing, and God always offers that. He's offering it to us right now as we celebrate this sacrament. He offers it to us through the sacrament of anointing of the sick. He offers it to us through penance, through confession. So God is a God of healing. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him, so that no matter what is happening, we're not going to say, oh, woe is me, this is terrible, life is a drudgery, I'm a slave, I'm a hireling, but rather, yeah, it's not a great life going on, but I know my true strength is in God, in God alone. And so if we look at Paul today, here's the exact opposite of Job's early moaning and groaning about his situation. What does Paul say? He says, I'm totally free to do what I want. If I wanted, I could charge you for preaching the gospel. But he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I see it as an obligation. Why? Why an obligation? Because of the love of God. He experienced the love of God. He didn't have an easy life. He may have been tempted to say, boy, this is terrible. It's a drudgery. But he kept on going, and he said, it is God who is my joy. So there was another man who probably got up early in the morning, went off to a deserted place, and prayed, so that he always kept his focus on God and what God wanted him to do. And Paul was so free, and this can happen to us too if we want. Paul was so free because of God's love that he said, I make myself a slave to you. I make myself a slave to you so that I can constantly preach the gospel. So here's a man who is filled with the joy of the Lord, and yet he's willing to put all of that aside in order to preach the gospel no matter what the cost. So we as Christians, we look at Jesus, we look at Paul, and we say, okay, those are models. Those are models for us, especially in this time of COVID, but any time. Are we a people who look to heal other people? We have charisms, sir. Maybe one of you has the charism of physical healing. Maybe you've thought in the past, I'd like to do it, but you didn't act on it. The only way you're going to find out if you have that charism is by trying it out. Take a couple months to try it out. Lay your hands on someone who is sick and pray for them. Because those charisms are among all of us. Every person has at least one, probably two or three charisms that are powerful gifts from God to show everybody else that God desires healing. So it's up to us as Christians to find out what the charisms are that we have and to use them to be a people who go out to heal. And again, it may not be physical healing, but some of you may have that one, but it may be spiritual healing that you have. What a gift that would be to go to someone who is suffering from fear, who thinks life is a drudgery, and out of compassion to be with them in their suffering so that they can see beyond the drudgery and the pain and the suffering. But we have those gifts. They are innumerable. Because we have been anointed in baptism to be priests, prophets, kings, because we are adopted children of God, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives to do just what Jesus did, to heal, to exercise. And we also know He fed people miraculously. We have those gifts. Are we using them, though, as Jesus did and Paul did? Are we willing to say, yeah, I love being free because what God has done for me, but I am willing to be enslaved by love for the sake of the world, to be like Paul, who didn't count the cost, He lived a rough life. We all know that. He was beaten up, left for dead, shipwrecked, so forth and so on. And yet, he said, I'm going to keep on running the race because this is what it's all about. He had the relationship with the Father that kept impelling him to go forward. So he's a great model of a follower of Jesus Christ. The question again is, are we good models of Jesus Christ in the world? Do we really use our faith? Is our faith strong? Do we take time for prayer to just be with the Lord and say, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. What do you think? So forth and so on. And then, in faith, step out and go to people and preach the gospel and feed and heal and do all the things that we're able to do through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I don't think any of us wants to be in relationship to a Job, at least at the beginning of the book of Job, who says, oh, isn't life terrible? It's a judgery. So I don't want to be with people like that. I want to be people, and I've known them, I'm sure you have known them, that even though they suffer greatly, they still have this joy. They still have this conviction that it's okay because God is their foundation and he is our foundation. So as always, we have all the information we need to be good disciples. We have all the graces and the charisms and the blessings to be good disciples of the Lord. But just like anything else, we've got to work at it. We've got to practice it. We've got to link up with someone else and say, let's be buddies in this and let's challenge one another. Let's challenge one another to go forward and really live the gospel powerfully. And that's possible because of God in our lives. So the readings from the Gospels and the Old Testament are not there just to tell us stories of ancient people, but those stories are our stories. We are those people. And yes, we get to choose who we want to be like. Do we want to be like Jesus and Paul? Do we want to be like David? Do we want to act like Jezebel? We're truly free to make that choice and to live our choice fully and completely. So here we are. We're nourished by the Word of God. We're nourished by the very flesh of God, which is the most powerful food in the world, both physical and spiritual. We have everything we need that when we go out those doors, we can do great things, or even little things with great love, so that like God who desires us to be healed, we can go forth as a community of healers rooted in God, knowing that this is what he wants for the world and doing it with great commitment and joy. Again, if we look at the situation, not only because of the pandemic, but in other ways in the world, more than ever, we as Christians need to stand up, be the disciples, and to go out and to pull people's attention to God, God alone, who can truly heal.